Wednesday night, I was talking with Timothy. And I was kind of pouring out some of the anguish in my heart about just how many young people I watch, people my own age, that are really riding the fence, wanting to do right and wanting the world. Or whatever the particular situation is. And he said, Ezra, there's a sermon for you. And I knew he was right. So even though I had already started preparing a different message, I completely switched gears. And I decided to speak on the war against the soul. So that's my subject for this morning. And I don't know who all this is going to apply to, because I'm going to talk in some extreme terms in some of these instances. But please, if the shoe fits in any way, wear it. I want to start with prayer. Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning and help us to truly examine our lives. Father, if there is any way that any one of us are riding the fence, I pray that you would reveal it to us and give us the courage to get on the right side. Amen. On December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And the United States entered what is known as the Second World War. It involved the majority of the countries in the world. And it is thought to be probably the deadliest conflict in all of world history, with the amount of lives that it took being somewhere between 50 and 85 million lives were taken in the Second World War. And people often referring to things in their own life will say, I'm going through World War III. In the Second World War, there was the Allies and the Axis. Two main heads, many different fronts all around the world fighting against each other. In the Pacific, there was the Japanese and the Americans. In Africa, there's a lot of the Italians and the Germans fighting against the English and the Americans. In Europe, it was the French and the English and the Americans fighting against the Germans. In Eastern Europe, it was the Russians fighting against the Germans. Many different fronts. But really, there was just two main powers pulling different directions. And that's what people are referring to when they say they're in a world war. There's often lots of different fronts, and it's coming up in every area of their life, but there's different pulls pulling them different directions. And the turmoil that they feel, they express with these terms. I'm going through World War III. And I guess what I'm coming at is I just want to say that that description is often a little bit more accurate than people even realize. Because they often think of it as something that's just not fun. They don't think of it as a right or a wrong issue. But it very often is. And today, I am going to speak of this subject. I'm going to speak about the times when it is either right or wrong. In 1 Peter 2:11, we read, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." It's lust. Lust in our own hearts that causes those World War IIIs to happen. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And I'm just going to mention a few things, being that I'm talking to young people, mostly, being that I am a young person. A few things that a lot of young people face in this matter. One of the most common things in a young person's life when they use this expression is romance. Guys find themselves awake till the wee hours of the morning, running questions through their mind. What a particular girl. Can I go forward with this? Can I not? And girls have the same perplexity. What if this guy asks me? What do I think? And the flesh says yes, and the spirit says no. You know this person is living a different lifestyle than you are. You know they're going a different direction with their Christianity. You know they're going a different direction with their life. But there's still something that says yes, and it causes a World War III. You know they don't appreciate the kind of lifestyle that you live, yet you still love the person. You have pushing you from one side, the truth and the standards that your parents have taught you, and you have you pushing from the other side. Romance pushing from the other side. And which will win? You know, and I'm slow to tell this story. I think I will anyway. I've always been an open person, transparent, and everybody knows everything about me. And it's too late to go back now anyway, so may as well keep going forward. Because when I look back in my life, I see a lot of the same mistakes in myself that I would ever need to preach against. I can use myself as a bad example at every turn that I need. And there was a certain girl a while back that I liked. And the turmoil was intense, just like as you would expect. And one day I came to the conclusion that this cannot go forward. Because I would have to compromise standards that I stand for. I should have been able to come to that conclusion a long time earlier than I did. And then someone asked me a while after, "So, Ezra, what happened? You used to like so-and-so just 3 months ago. How did you get over her so fast?" And I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, 3 months so fast? It took me 5 minutes. Because when you come to that point where you will realize this isn't right, it ends. And I don't know what other people might be struggling with. And I share this story just for the hope that someone here might be someone here that might be in the same situation can take these things home and be blessed by the struggle that I went through. Because when you come to that end where you realize, I would have to give up standards that I believe, it ought to end immediately. Most young people go through a time at which they have gotten to be old enough to where they understand the importance of being their own person and making their own decisions, but they are not yet grounded enough to do a good job of it. And a war begins. Because they have their parents. They have their church on one side. And they have their heart on the other side. They want to serve God, yet they also want things. You have all these things that you want that you've been taught are wrong. You do not have the understanding to formulate all the arguments, to come to the conclusions that everything is wrong, that your parents taught you were wrong, and so you justify them. On one side, you want to be a missionary and spend your life for the gospel. And on the other side, you want all the music that the cool people are listening to. And even if the music is justifiable, just that desire to be cool and to fit in is going to hinder you from ever being a good missionary. I'm just trying to paint this picture here of a young person who is being pulled in different directions. You have a desire to serve God. And yet you still want to see all the movies that everybody else is seeing that you shouldn't watch. And you want to wear all the clothes that make you fit in, and yet you still want to serve God. You're just being pulled different directions. And you're at war. In Galatians 1:10 we read, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." This is something that almost every young person goes through for at least a little while. But some people never seem to grow out of it. They fight when they're with their parents when they're teenagers, and then they fight when they're church with their church elders when they're older. They want to serve God, but they want to do it their own way. You want to serve God, but you also want to please men. You love God, but you also love the world's entertainment. You hunger for righteousness, but you also hunger for fame. You want to serve God, but you also want that nice job that you would have to compromise to get. I don't know what your war is, but most every person, I should say, at some point goes through something of this nature where there is a war. Different armies pulling you in different directions. Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. I don't know what yours is, but there is something pulling you in different directions. To use a story from World War II, there was a man by the name of Alan Turing. And Alan Turing played a key role in breaking the Enigma code that the Germans used in their U-boats in the Atlantic Ocean. But then shortly after, he was convicted of being a homosexual and sentenced to chemical castration. And he's committed suicide shortly after he was given that sentence. You see, here was a man that loved his country and devoted hours and labor and work into breaking the Germans' code and saving thousands of lives of his own countrymen. But he also loved a lifestyle that at that time in the history of England was considered a crime. He was condemned by his own country that he served. You know, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people that try to do the same thing with God on a lesser or greater degree. They love God, but they also love things that God hates. Or maybe on a lesser degree, they love God, but they also love things that weigh them down and keep them from properly pursuing God, even if the thing isn't evil of itself. Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, I don't know what the battle is in you, but I'm just trying to make it surface this morning. I want to bring it to your attention. James 4:1 we read, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Or lusteth enviously? First verse. There are two wars mentioned in this first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? It says, where do these external wars come from? They come from wars on the inside. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about those wars that war in your members, those wars on the inside that are caused by your own lust. First, there's those wars between people. The words are flying. The smashing has begun and the insulting statements are everywhere. Then there's that war on the inside. And that's where it all begins. Every war that a Christian fights in started on the inside. Is there war on the outside? There's war on the inside. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Do you fight with your siblings? It's because you're fighting with your soul. Because lust is fighting with your soul. Do you fight with your parents? It's because pride is warring against your spirit. Do you fight with your boss? Co-workers? Do you fight with your elders? Do you fight with the Bible? Do you fight with God? Do you fight standards? You know, James 4:4, the same passage we read, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And on first look, it might seem that this is a strange context for this verse. But on second look, you realize this is probably the number one cause for inward wars. Your unsaved family wants you to do something, and your flesh wants to please them. But your spirit wants to forsake them, as Jesus said to. And you're pulled two directions. I want to go here with my family and do what they're asking me to do. But Jesus says, forsake your family. And you have this war. Maybe you have friends that are wanting you to go somewhere and do something. Your flesh says yes and your spirit says no. And you have this war. War. And then people look at themselves in pity. Because of the circumstances that they are in and the hard choices they have to make. They see it as a circumstantial thing. And I'm hoping to point you this morning that you will realize it's a you thing. How easy it would be if we just realized that this whole battle is caused by our lust. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My purpose is to dig to the bottom. Dig down. Down to the bottom of your heart and get you to think about why you do what you do. Why does your heart long after the things it longs after? Why do you long to wear those clothes that are immodest? Why do you wish that your conscience would let you do the things that other people do? Why do you have that desire to be famous? Why do you want that car that would give you status? And you know, I know, and you know, you're not going to pursue these things. You have too many standards. You have too much understanding. But why do you want it? Why is there still a war about it? When you are down, when you're discouraged, why do you snap back into that dreamland where you dream about doing all these things that you'd never do in real life? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? That little "I want to, but I can't" is a war in your members. And it's caused by your own lust. And that little lust will take you down if you don't deal with it. These little wars will grow into big wars. These little wars on the inside will become big wars on the outside. How long halt ye between two opinions? You probably remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. When he gathered the prophets together, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him not a word. Maybe in your heart, you want to go to church. You want to read your Bible. You want to pray. But I don't know what the but is, but you do. What's that thing that gets in your way of your Bible reading, that gets in the way of your prayer, that gets in the way of you coming to church, that gets in the way of your spiritual life? What is it? I don't know. What are the buts? How long halt ye between two opinions? Who are you serving? What are you doing? If the Lord is God, then serve him. But if fishing be your God, then go fishing Sunday morning. I don't know what your God is, but how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be pulled two directions? I just happened to see yesterday a video, and some of you guys might have seen this because things travel around the internet pretty fast. But this was a video of people right on the brink of Victoria Falls. And it turns out that at a certain season in the year when the water levels are right, there is an eddy that's created just feet from the brink of Victoria Falls. And people go out there and splash around in the water. To where they held their camera out over the edge and looked over the falls. And there's the rocks right there. And Christians do this. Their lust is like the current of the stream pulling them. And rather than just getting out of the river, they find themselves a little eddy. Where the water is circling instead of pulling them hard. They're playing with death. The little pool is called the devil's pool. And very fittingly. You have little wars in your heart that you cater to. And you're just like those people. Don't think it good enough to find a place where you can hold on and keep from going over the falls. Get out of the river. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Our Father, I pray that you would take these few feeble words of mine, send them into each one of our hearts. Father, that you would give us the humility to examine ourselves, look into our hearts, and see what wars we fight. See what desires we have that are pulling us contrary to your will. Father, give us the grace and the strength and the courage that we need to forsake it all and follow you wholeheartedly. Whether it be friends or family or hobbies or fun, whatever. Father, we just pray you would help us to follow you only. Amen.